What motivates people to work on a project that may not, likely will not, be completed during their lifetime? How about the possibility of discovering life on another planet? We've got questions and we're getting some answers through real-life stories of people who work to develop a future NASA mission. It's focused on one of the moons orbiting Jupiter and what we hope to find there. We want to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. How closely have you followed this effort to reach Jupiter's moon Europa? Are you much of a stargazer? What questions do you have about the U.S. space program, how it's run so far, or how it might look in the future? Call 800-642-1234 or send us an email at ideas@wpr.org. Our guest is David W. Brown. He's a writer based in New Orleans. He regularly contributes to a number of outlets, including the New York Times, The Atlantic, and Scientific American. His new book out today is called The Mission, and it has a pretty lengthy subtitle that fills up the whole cover, but we'll just say it contains a story of the many pushes for NASA to explore the Jupiter moon Europa, not to mention a lot of inside looks at how major milestones in the U.S. space program have come to be or barely happened at all. David, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Before we talk too much about Europa, we should ask, what is it and where is it?
Europa orbits the planet Jupiter. It is an ocean moon. It's surrounded by an ice shell, but inside it has a liquid saltwater ocean. It's about the size of our own moon, but it has three times more water than the planet Earth.
How do we know all of that about it?
Well, the ocean was hypothesized for a very long time, and it was proven, I believe, in 2000 by the Galileo spacecraft. Physicists were able to run an experiment that essentially looked for a magnetic field that was induced by Jupiter. What this means is, or in real world terms, when you walk through the metal detector at an airport, they essentially turned a spacecraft into a metal detector. And that meant either the interior of Europa is made of metal, which it's not, or there is a liquid saltwater ocean down there.
Can you put this into context about things we know about other bodies in space? Are a lot of things covered in ice? The water content certainly seems like it is unique.
There are other ocean worlds in the solar system, and that's sort of an emerging part of planetary science now. Some of the moons include Enceladus and Titan, both of which orbit Saturn.
Why then, if we know these exist, is Europa so important for determining that question that we keep asking, whether life in some form exists elsewhere in our solar system beyond Earth?
Right. So what makes Europa unique, certainly what's been studied and researched very deeply, is the ingredients necessary for life. And that's something that Europa really brings to the table. Three times more water than Earth, that's great. But there are also hydrothermal vents on the bottom of the ocean that essentially blast hot water into that ocean. And so that's introducing energy into the equation. On the ocean floor, you have water touching rock, which is how you get interesting chemistry happening. So when you've got water, you've got chemistry, you've got energy, you also have, by way of the ice shell of Europa, the way it convects, it's plate tectonics, you're also introducing oxygen into that ocean. So if there's anywhere in the solar system that has life, it's certainly there. It might be single-celled organisms, but it might be complex life, maybe fish, maybe sea monsters.
Maybe complex life.
Absolutely.
Let's talk first about what the plan is, and then we can step back and figure out how we got here. Several past missions to Europa fell through, but now one is actually scheduled in just a couple of years.
Right. That mission is called Europa Clipper. It's a mission to Europa has been decades in the making. This one is a Jupiter orbiter, and it circles Jupiter dozens or hundreds of times, depending on how long the mission goes. And it scans Europa in slices. Each time it circles Jupiter and encounters Europa and gets one different slice every time until finally you get sort of a 360-degree globe. What makes exploring Europa particularly challenging is that it orbits Jupiter in what's called the Jovian radiation belt. which has conditions not unlike the aftermath of a thermonuclear bomb. It's just, it's probably the least hospitable place in the solar system for a spacecraft and certainly the computer inside of it. And that's been the challenge over all these years, how to survive in that radiation in order to learn about the habitability of this moon and what lies beneath that ice.
We are talking with David Brown, who wrote the book, The Mission. It's about NASA's exploration of Jupiter's moon, Europa, and what we could find there. What questions do you have? There's a line for you at 800-642-1234, taking your questions or your thoughts about this mission. Maybe you've done some research into the U.S. space program. What question do you have, or what do you want to share with us? 800-642-1234. This book that you've written, David, it shows that you have really incredible access to people at various levels of NASA, as well as other space programs. How did you get so many people to tell you their stories?
Well, I knew for a story like this, when I started writing the book, I had no idea it would be quite this difficult. In the end, it ended up taking 7 years to write, or just under 7 years. I interviewed over 100 people. And the access was built over time. I did my homework. I built trust with members of the Europa team. I made friendships. And ultimately, I just made a whole lot of phone calls and did a whole lot of traveling in order to show people that I was taking their life's work seriously. One thing that I would always tell them, and that's very true, is that this is my book, but it's your story, and I want to represent it accurately, and I want to do justice to your life's work.
Yeah. So many origin stories. I mean, significant moments from earlier in their lives show up in your book, and you see how that sets these people in motion to become space scientists. Could you retell one of your favorite stories for us about how that happened?
Oh, there are so many. I would say I was particularly one of the first stories that I learned was that of Louise Proctor, who works at the Applied Physics Laboratory now. She initially didn't go to college. She just went on, lived her life, sold office supplies, and she was pretty good at it. Then she started selling typewriters. She wasn't so good at that. But eventually she decided, you know, maybe I want a little more out of my life. Maybe this isn't what I was meant to do. So she went back to college as an adult. And she turned out she was pretty good at it. She checked the box marked science because that's what her father studied as a teacher. In the end, she became one of the world's foremost subject matter experts, one of the greatest planetary scientists walking the planet today. I think that this book it's not really a book about space. It's not really a book about science. It's a book about people at crossroads in their lives and how they handle it. What direction do they go, left or right? And it just so happens all of the people in this book happen to make the right choice and in the end would come together to build this incredible thing that couldn't happen without any single one of them.
Huh. And then because you talk to so many people, I wonder, what impression did you get from them? What makes them tick to be able to work on a project that is so far beyond maybe what they will even see?
Well, thankfully, for a great many of them, I think that they will see it. Europa Clipper is likely to launch in 2025 now, and it'll have a 6 or 7 year journey to Jupiter and eventually settle into orbit and begin studying Europa. But one of my challenges or goals in this book, or in writing this book, I wanted to make sure that I sort of brought to the reader a certain empathy for the characters in it and really put the reader in that person's head, his or her. And in the end, that required so many interviews and so much traveling. It was so exhausting. But what happened in the end, when I was actually writing the book, pulling from all of these interviews that were done over so many years, I would have 15 or 20 interviews with 4 or 5 different people. Some interviews were done in 2014. Some interviews were done in 2019. Some were done in 2017. And for each passage that I was writing, and sometimes each sentence, I'm drawing from 4 or 5 or 10 different interviews to make to sort of add little pieces to build that mosaic, that tell that story, reveal that picture of the Europa story. I hope that I was successful in that. It seems to be well received, and I'd like to say that I succeeded in doing justice to the hard work that these men and women do.
Yeah, you saw where everything converged. We're talking with writer David Brown about his new book called The Mission. It's largely based on the people who've worked for decades in some cases to get a NASA mission launched to search for life on Europa. That's one of the moons of Jupiter. And we are taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Have we piqued your interest in Europa? What questions do you have about what we could find there? 800-642-1234 or send us an email at ideas@WPR.org. The conversation continues here on Central Time. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. We are picking up our talk with author David Brown about his new book on space exploration and Jupiter's moon Europa. It's out today. It's called The Mission. We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Carol in Glendale has a question for us. Hey, Carol.
Hi, hello. Yes, David, I have three questions. I have, the cost, the time and the cost of such an expedition to Europa. You know, how much does that run approximately? and who pays for all of it? And then the second question is, what benefits do we derive from this exploration? How are we benefiting our planet, our people? And at this time, the money's spent on this. Wow, it seems this is a time we should be spending on other things. But yeah. Then there's a question for you, David. As you know, you're writing, it sounds like you're putting in, a vast amount of time and effort into this book, and I wonder what keeps you going on this.
Carol, thank you so much. That's a fair question. I do think, let's take that last one first, David. Like, how do you just keep going? I see some parallels here with the scientists who've dedicated their life to something.
That certainly occurred to me 5 years into the project. That maybe I was learning the hard way exactly how difficult their job was. Of course, they did. It took them two or three times longer than it took me to write the book. But I think what drove me to keep going was really a dedication to good storytelling. I wanted to make sure, I didn't know if this would be the last big book that I would ever write in my career. And so I wanted to make sure if I was going to have the shot, I was going to swing for the fences. And that really did keep me going. I never hated the book. I never hated the subject. I never hated the people. I think any writer can attest, you hate your project after a certain amount of time. And that never happened to me. So I have to consider that a good sign.
Yeah, to resent it a little bit. And I want to get to Carol's other questions, but I do want to focus just a little bit more on your writing, because there's this like quiet cleverness to pieces of it. I mean, I laughed out loud just on page 17, where you're talking about the universe beginning and you're like, good old atomic number one. And then you talk about it cooling into a quark soup. I mean, the way you're writing about this is not some like dry textbook version of this story.
I knew when I was writing this book that probably the best way to do it would be through creative nonfiction, which is bringing in elements of poetry and fiction. It's sort of this narrative devices in order to tell a nonfiction story. It's a genre that I'm familiar with. It's something that I write quite often, and the story just lends itself to that. Science is not, it's particularly multidisciplinary science, like the field of planetary science, is not inherently accessible to most people. And most people probably bring an impoverished understanding of how the solar system works and how the universe works. And that's just, that's just a result of people have other interests, and there's nothing wrong with that. So I knew I had to tell it in a way that would be captivating to readers, and also tell it in a way that really spoke to the art and somehow pushed forward the science writing genre And I think I succeeded with that. I certainly tried. It is really hard to write a book that feels like it was really easy to write. Those are the hardest kinds of books to
write.
Fair point. Yeah. So I had to really slave over some of those sentences, but I absolutely, I can honestly say that I did the best I could do. And there's not a lot of things in life when you can say I could not have done any better than I did. And I really gave it my all. I hope it works. And I'm glad you laughed.
Yeah, I did. David Brown wrote the book, The Mission. It's about NASA's exploration of Jupiter's moon Europa and what we could find there. And we're talking about it now. And Carol had a similar question to a caller, Mark, who couldn't stay with us. They both, you know, said we're spending a lot on space exploration and there are issues on Earth that we need to fix. Mark mentioned infrastructure, you know, Carol mentioned it at the end. So what does this mission cost and how do we justify it when it's for exploration?
That's a really good question. And I think a lot of people have a misconception about what NASA's budget is. I think if you ask most people, they might say 25% of the federal budget, 30% of the federal budget. In fact, NASA gets 0.5% of the federal budget. It's a rounding error in the Defense Department budget. Something like a mission to Europa, the numbers kind of go back and forth, but we can safely say $3 billion, which is fighter jet money. It's practically nothing in terms of government spending. And accordingly, I mean, it's a lot of money, but it's not real government money, if that makes sense. As a result, what we're getting back is so much more than what's being invested. It's all return. And the questions that are going to be answered by Europa Clipper and any follow-on missions in a Europa exploration sequence get to the heart of religion, philosophy, and science itself. I mean, are we alone in the solar system? Or in the universe? We're going to know. What does it take to create life? What does it take to sustain life? Where does it come from? What does it look like? Everything we know about life on Earth comes from, obviously, a common origin. What would life look like that came from a different origin? We'll be able to answer those questions. Space exploration in general is the only human endeavor that I can think of where people say, well, why should we spend money up there when we have so many problems down here? But what that means is, we have to solve literally every problem in the world before we do this. I mean, we would never do anything in life if we said we'll solve every single other problem, then we'll do that. It's kind of an absurd thing when you really think it through. The very fact that we're having this conversation right now over the miracle of the internet and technology, all of that comes directly. Those are benefits yielded from the American space program and the global space program.
Let's bring in one more caller. Stuart from Milwaukee wants to talk with us. Hi, Stuart.
Hi, thank you for having me. Yeah, my question is really, as we're learning about Europa and the search for life there, where are the scientists thinking along the lines of, is it panspermia, so microbes, you know, hitching a ride on a meteor, or is it, you know, generated from the right mix of amino acids and the heat from the thermal vents, or is there any new thinking along those lines?
Yeah, Stuart, thanks for the question. And it's clear you know a lot about this stuff. David, talk more about that life we're looking for on Europa.
That's a very good question. And that's one of the things that ultimately a continued exploration of Europa would be able to answer. I don't think that's something that anybody can actually answer right now. I will say that, for example, if we found life on Mars, there's a good chance it at some point came from Earth after some major collision event, knocking this form into space. And eventually, as the planets orbit, the terrestrial planets are certainly sharing their rocks and their life, if such a thing exists. That probably wouldn't be the case with Europa. If it's had 4 billion years beneath that ice shell to create life, it's had all the ingredients necessary to make life. And if anywhere in the solar system can do it, it's there. And I think it's important that we, just as a species, that we figure out how did it happen? Did it happen? And if so, how?
And I just want to squeeze in one more question. Alec from Beaver Dam was wondering, how will we probe, how will we find that intelligent life? How will we know?
Well, so Europa Clipper is a habitability mission. And what it's going to do is determine where, in what way is Europa habitable, and where on Europa would be the most habitable places. A follow-on mission, a lander, would actually touch down on the surface of Europa, sort of saw 10 centimeters beneath that ice. And once it digs that little hole, it essentially works like a powerful microscope, and it can look for evidence of things that once wiggled.
Excellent. David, this is fascinating. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
David Brown is a writer based in New Orleans, and we talked with him about his new book out today called The Mission. It looks at the decades-long push for NASA to explore Jupiter's moon Europa in search of other life in the solar system. Again, this was David W. Brown, who is a writer who is writing about space. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Thanks for being here.